You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Sixteen teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
You don't think that that particular line of work that they're in has a shelf life like that of an athlete? I feel like entering year 20, like they're pushing the term limits on how long you can do what they do for a living.
You mean like steal cars?
Yeah.
Drivers. Guys, come on. You guys sound ignorant. They're not just stealing cars. They're saving the world. All right? They work for like special government agencies off the books, and if they get captured, there's no connection to them. But they're the ones that solve the problems that can't be solved by the normal police forces.
Billy, I thought their goose was cooked in Fast Five when they were in Brazil.
Yeah.
Thought that was the end. I think, wasn't that when The Rock has his first appearance?
That was the best one, I think. Five.
The Rock.
Oh, my God.
You know, he was against them, and naturally, as all good police or Secret Service agents or whatever it was that he was, does,
ATF?
when they help you at the end, you give them a little bit of a head start to get away, and
yes,
they capture them after.
Yeah, and also maybe like a little immunity.
They didn't get that right.
Sprinkle a little immunity in there.
No. Jessica, you always do the, I'm going to have to bring you in. Now I just got to find my handcuffs.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's when they get away.
That's, yeah.
Wait, they don't have any immunity?
I believe that they may have gotten immunity in 7. The thing with the immunity, though, right, is that like immunity is good for like all of their past crimes that they've committed, but then they just go on to commit all these other future crimes, and it's like,
right,
well, now they should be wanted again because they're kind of just going
right
rogue.
You're violating the terms and conditions of being a free man.
Yeah.
Billy, maybe you should do like a YouTube exclusive Fast 9 instant reaction video, because we're trying to think of some original programming for our YouTube channel, and it sounds like, you know, we have enough movie podcasts around, but like, could be a fun little video. I don't know.
Actually, today saw
Amin is right there, Jessica.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
No, I mean, we don't, Billy. No, I meant we have two good movie podcasts. Billy isn't competing for one of the good movie podcast spots.
Nice kick
Billy
save and
his
abuse.
Own. That is what I meant. It might not have come out that way, but I tried.
There's big Mystery Crate plans for the Fast release, but kind of caught up to us. Ideas.
What were some of your ideas? Can we execute them quickly? Or,
well, it was like, let's get Shay Serrano on and let's talk about the Fast and Furious, because he loves the Fast and Furious, and so does Simmons, but like, they're gonna do their own Fast and Furious thing.
Yeah.
Over
hey competing podcast network, you want to come help us boost our numbers?
It's family, man. Fast and Furious, there's no competition.
Let's get some Coronas and talk about it.
Yeah,
I told you I've been on the set of two different Fast and Furiouses. And
you have said no such thing to me. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
You have my full attention.
All right. So 2017, I want to say during the NBA Finals, they were shooting Fast and the Furious in Cleveland. I believe one of the Fast 7 is the one where it's in New York, or which one's in New York? Fast 8?
They jump around so much.
Anyway, there's one where there's
Billy,
like
you
a big
know this
pile
on the top
up.
Of your head.
There's a big pile That's up in the,
I'm
New
rusty.
York. So I'm walking from my hotel to the arena, and I'm walking, and the first thing I see is an NYPD squad car parked on the street. And I'm like, look at these using taxpayer funds, mother effers. Like, God, you drove all the way here to Cleveland to watch an NBA Finals game? Yeah, okay. NYPD, ACAB is what I say. And so I keep walking, and then
good one.
I see, yeah, you like that. I see like a massive 10 car pileup.
Wow.
I'm talking about cars upside down,
Holy
and there's
shit.
A NYPD motorcycle that's on it and smoke. And I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit. Is everyone okay? I'm looking, there's nobody. I like, should I call 911? And then I'm looking around, I'm like, wait a second, there's nobody here. And there are a lot of NYPD cop cars in this pileup. And then some guy, I was like, you're in the shot. You're in the shot. I'm like, oh, I thought they corned it off. Yeah, they're shooting Fast and the Furious
oh
in downtown
God.
Cleveland because it looks like New York. And
wow.
so
that's impossible. That
was, does it, though?
It look like
there's
it's not
going
to look like Central Park. Yeah. But it's like if you wanted to cheat, like this is somewhere downtown, you could. Because
I mean,
it's got a lot of old
buildings. Couldn't you do that with a lot of cities?
You could do that with Toronto.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of cities that it's just
a
bunch
probably,
of tall
there's
buildings.
Probably tax breaks in Ohio or something like that.
Yeah.
That's why they do a lot
that's
of
exact, that's exactly it. So usually they do it in Canada because Canada is really cheap.
And I imagine a lot of cities like probably don't want their the hub of their downtown to be closed off during business hours.
Yeah, in Cleveland it doesn't matter because the hub of the downtown is like three blocks.
On
okay,
everything.
Now you're being
no,
a snobby New Yorker,
no, no, no,
Jessica.
No. Jessica's right. On everything. I have walked down downtown Cleveland, a major thoroughfare that's six lanes, three lanes this way, three lanes yep. that way. And it looked like, what's the Will Smith movie? I Am Legend. All it was missing was a deer just running around. Like,
wait.
It was empty. And in the middle of the day.
I mean, have you? So when I was in Cleveland for a work trip, a couple years ago, and I was trying to find a Starbucks because I needed coffee. And I went to the Starbucks where it said the Starbucks was, and there was no Starbucks. So I went inside the building, and there was the staircase. So I went down the staircase, and I ended up in this underground labyrinth in downtown Cleveland where there's like a seven-tiered mall.
Yeah.
Underground, and that's where the Starbucks was, and I got lost in this place because like it spanned like multiple blocks and it was all underground. It was like the weirdest shit I have ever seen in my life.
It's like Demolition Man when they go down
yeah.
to where Dennis Leary lives with the underground
it's
people
so
that's what
weird
like.
Yes mole people yeah.
what was the second Fast set that you were on, because that one a little disappointing.
I was on the set for, I want to say Tokyo Drift.
Oh, wow.
I was downtown LA, and they changed all the street signs to Japanese to look like it was Tokyo, when actually we were in Koreatown. So
see, what I have to do is, and I sent myself a link today because I saw it, I don't remember where, on Twitter somewhere, is it was a link saying this is where you can stream or watch all of the Fast movies. Like leading up to the thing. And I need to, because like Tokyo Drift, I saw once in theaters, like Too Fast, Too Furious, I saw like years later. But the thing that I'm trying to figure out is, do I watch them in terms of when they were released, like sequentially, or do I watch them in their timeline? Because
they're not chronologically.
No, they're not.
Which one's a prequel? Which one's a prequel?
None are prequels, but Tokyo Drift took place like after some of the ones that took place when they like started up again.
Yeah, wasn't Fast 2, Tokyo Drift's like out of that storyline, right? It's kind of like adjacent storyline to the second Fast and the Furious, which is the Miami one, correct?
Yeah, so Tokyo Drift by that time, all right, the first Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel thought he was hot shit afterwards, right? And he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then he went off to do XXX or whatever, the thing with the weird glasses. What was that movie called that he did?
Chronicles of Riddick?
I think so. I don't know. He did something, right? Where he thought that he wasn't going to be part of this anymore. So then the second one was like Paul Walker. And then that's when they like introduced Ludacris. And that that's when they started introducing some of the other
characters. That was Tyrese was in the second one, right?
Yeah, Tyrese. Tyrese.
Yes.
We've talked about this a lot. Tyrese took quite the turn. So did Ludacris in terms of their character's evolution, right? So Tyrese started kind of like as just like this guy that was like muscle, right? Where like now in all the movies, he's kind of a joke. Like that he's like the butt of all the jokes. And Ludacris started as just a bit of a bookie that could kind of put anything together. And now he's like this tech whiz that knows how to do everything in all the movies. And it's like, how did we end up here with these characters? But I'm not going to ask. It doesn't matter with some of the stuff that's going on.
You learned from, was it Worm in the second movie that was in charge of like getting the GPS off all the cars? I have vivid recollection. It's the only Fast and Furious movie that I've seen in detail. Because when I was a kid, it was in our, we had a SUV with a DVD player in the back. And
wow.
We watched Too Fast, Too Furious about 147 times. So I know like every detail, but I think the character's name was Worm that like knew how to get the GPS and all that off so that their cars can no longer be tracked by the Miami PD.
You just said detail twice during that ramble, and the first time you said detail, and the second time you said detail. What's going on there?
I sense a continuity error in Fancy Lad's character.
Sometimes I like saying detail, sometimes I like saying detail. Both are correct. So,
Tokyo Drift, the only Fast and Furious I've ever watched. Never seen any of them.
Me
shut
too.
Up.
Yeah, me too.
You've been talking with authority on the subject.
Have not lived.
Wait. So you were on the set of the other one and you didn't like do the thing. Like I did it with the Bad Boys 3 or whatever it was called, right? Bad Boys 3, where we were like went out and we were across the street. Was that 3 or 4? Whatever.
It's Bad Boys Life.
It was Bad Boys 4 Life.
Yeah, but it was the third.
The third Bad Boys movie, yes.
Yeah, so like I went to see it just because we were in the background when they were shooting some stuff. You didn't have like any interest in seeing like, hey, let me see what this scene was like where I saw all of these damaged cars in the middle of the street.
Not really. I mean, it was just I was really upset that they yelled at me about being on an active set. Well, I said,
how did they just let you walk on also? Like that's on security.
Because it's Cleveland. They're like, wait, a pedestrian? There's actually a human here?
We didn't account for this.
I want to get paid for this. They're I'm like, extra.
Didn't think that Cleveland would catch this many strays on today's podcast.
They deserve it.
I'm a Steelers fan. What do you expect?
I was surprised. Forgive me for taking this in another direction, but I didn't know how or why you ended up in Naked Gun world because you're somebody who gets to these movies. Yeah, well, which
that's such a good movie.
Well, what because that franchise lasted how many did that? That was only 3. How is it that you ended up in Naked Gun world with Leslie Nielsen and a totally different O.J. Simpson than the one America knows right now?
So Dan, there's 3 Naked Guns, as you know, the original Naked Gun, Naked Gun 2.5, and then Naked Gun 33 and a third. Now, I'm by Naked Gun 33 and a third. I haven't finished that one yet. I'm about 10 minutes in. Again, this baby just kind of interrupts all of these things. I try to watch the movies to get a bit of a break from the baby. And then it's like, well, change me, feed me, rock me, do this, do that. And it's like, all right, baby, I'll do this. But this is when I was supposed to be watching Naked Gun 33 and a third.
And
so how did I get there?
Your general thoughts. Yep. I'm stunned to hear that you like this. You usually don't go back in the way back file of 20, 30, 40 years and actually like the movies we're presenting to you.
Well, the thing about Naked Gun is that it's kind of like a spoof of a movie, right? It's not an actual movie. It's not an actual action movie. It's just kind of like Leslie Nielsen doing Leslie Nielsen things, right? And here's a take. Naked Gun, the original one, baseball movie.
Yep.
I would put it up there with Field of Dreams in terms of best baseball movies ever, Naked Gun.
Uh-huh.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Was Naked Gun a baseball movie? Is that the one where Leslie Nielsen was a look at me umpire, the first one?
That's exactly. And they showed a movie on MLB Network. It's a baseball movie.
That umpire scene is one of the greatest baseball scenes. I will fight the Jokic brothers, both of them.
No, you won't.
If anyone suggests to me that umpire scene is not one of the greatest scenes ever in any kind of baseball realm.
Look, it's Enrico Palazzo.
But he was moonwalking. The idea that Leslie Nielsen at 80 years old would be able to move like that. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. You guys, how many of the people listening to this don't have any idea what we're talking about?
Most.
No clue.
Oh, my God. Come on.
Wow. Sorry.
Honestly, Billy, I'm surprised that you're on the opposite side of this. Like, I agree with Dan. The notion that you were just watching, are you just watching random movies now because you have a child?
How did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I went on and I'm like, I need to watch a movie. I watched Chad. I watched the whole series of Chad. So I was like, I got to move on past that. I was looking for things to watch. So then I started watching like movies. I'm like, let me watch a movie. And then I, you know, stumbled across the James Bond movies, just the Daniel Craig ones. So I watched the Daniel Craig James Bond movies. And then I was like, let me see some other things. So I start doing, and then you do that thing in your cable where you start looking at actors and you're like, oh, let me find this actor. Let me see what they've been in. And this is a path that I was going to go on. And I'm like, never mind. I got to Rodney Dangerfield and I'm like, let me see Rodney Dangerfield's movies, right? And then I saw like all his movies and I was like, 19% seems really low even for me in terms of approval rating. Like, let me look for something else. And then I stumbled across this Naked Gun, a classic, one that I've never seen. Much like you guys, I'd seen that umpire scene before. I said, let me give this a shot. And it was bad, but it was good bad. And it was intentionally good bad. You know what I mean? And I think it holds up somewhat. I mean, there's some things that they could do nowadays, but it wasn't bad. It wasn't the worst. And just put this in the chat. It was the original Austin Powers, to the point that even some of the jokes that Austin Powers does are straight up ripoffs or homages or whatever you want to call it to Naked Gun. Like when they do kind of like the sex scenes where all of a sudden there's like rocket shootings and there's hot dogs and there's this and that, straight out of Naked Gun.
Did Rodney Dangerfield have a good movie other than Caddyshack? Is there a movie that you associate with Rodney Dangerfield? Am I forgetting something? I mean, I'm sorry. You've got a look of total shock and horror on your face.
Back to School?
Amazing. Yep. The Triple Vindy.
It was Rodney Dangerfield, lest you need not know what we're talking about. Rodney Dangerfield as a sort of Olympic diver of some sort.
He had to go back to college, right? And he moves in and he gets on the diving team as part of his God's experience.
If you want to know how I truly got to Rodney Dangerfield and then eventually Naked Gun, it's because when I was looking for movies and Rodney Dangerfield came up, a movie called The Godson came up, which was clearly a play on The Godfather, and it was a mafia movie. So I'm like, I'm going to watch The Godson. So when I come back, I can say I still haven't seen The Godfather, but I've seen The Godson. And then I was like 3 minutes in and I'm like, I can't watch any more of The Godson. I'm sorry. This isn't worth it. Even for the joke, this is not worth it.
Well, this sounds like a movie. This sounds like a job for Cinephobe.
Oh, boy.
The podcast where we watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they're accurately poorly rated. Maybe, just maybe, they didn't get a fair shake from Billy Gill. Cinephobe, wherever you get podcasts. This week, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh.
The last movie Sean Connery ever made.
I want you guys to understand that as Lewis Riddick interviews for the Texans job and for the Lions general manager job, how you parlay an ESPN job into real power and how, as you listen to Amin, you don't. Lewis Riddick is a front office insider who has been so good at television that now the Lions and Texans are saying, let's give him all the power. Amin is over here selling, ascertaining.
But I don't know, Dan, if you caught it. Amin told us before, he's too real for the NBA now. NBA can't handle him. He's too honest for players. They're too soft for Amin Alhassan's style of management.
You know, Dan, he might be having all the professional accolades and all the money and respect and all that, but I guarantee you I have a more fun life than Lewis Riddick.
Wow.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Can you guarantee that Amin Alhassan has a more fun life than Lewis Riddick?
16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are here, and all roads lead to the finals. Will NBA champions like Jokic and Giannis dominate the playoffs again, or will emerging stars like Anthony Edwards and Jason Tatum solidify their names in NBA history? The playoffs are where legends are made, and TNT will make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Stugatz, why is it that you wanted to talk about Paul George? What is it about Paul George? Have you changed your mind? Are you willing to reinvent an opinion? A guy who, I don't think we move all the time, right? We take these guys. It was Carmelo Anthony for a while, but now he gets to be beloved guy because he's no longer an integral player. But we will move and shift every time one of these guys disproves us, right? Because Paul George actually did it in one game in the bubble, but then we reverted back afterward once they were eliminated to mocking Paul George as someone who doesn't want big circumstances. But on those Pacers teams, playing against LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, he was a critical number one player who challenged them. And last night, he won an enormous game on the road in the playoffs when everyone is decimated. And so what is it that you wanted to say about Paul George?
I'm just confused as to what we do with Paul George, because I wanted to talk about it before last night's game. He's had a good playoff. He's had a good series. And we have spent a good deal of time mocking Paul George on this show. Not just us. A lot of people have. And perhaps deservedly so. But he has been great in these playoffs. And last night, my goodness, like, I didn't think Paul George was capable of that, to be the number one guy in a team in a big spot on the road against the best team in the NBA and give you that type of performance. To me, was a I almost want to apologize to him.
Whoa.
I mean, I do. He's great. He's been great during these playoffs. Listen,
shocking that Stugatz almost wants to apologize to him, getting close to an apology. What has to happen for there to be an apology?
He has to win an NBA championship.
Okay, he's never getting that.
No, but he has a shot this year. He really does. The Clippers not have a shot.
Not without Kawhi.
Now, that would be a story. I'll apologize twice if he does it without Kawhi.
What? Two apologies. Double double bonus apologies. Oh, my God. Now, I want you to know that Kevin Durant had that game, and Stugatz's response was, do it again. And so when Stugatz offers the double possible apology, I don't believe him at all.
Kevin Durant validated everything I've been saying for years.
So, God, stop this pivot, okay?
No,
stop,
no. Can you just hear me out?
Stop telling us how you thought. I've said all along how great he is. Knock it off.
I just want you to hear me out for a second.
I don't want to hear you out. It's going to be filled with lies and backtracking.
The reason we celebrated Kevin Durant's performance is because he didn't do it with Kyrie Irving. He did it. He didn't do it with a healthy James Harden. Dan, he did that with Jeff bleeping Green. Okay, and that's my point. He doesn't need those guys. He needs Jeff Green. He needs an aging Blake Griffin and not much else. I mean, that is why this is so unfair and so ridiculous what he did. He's never been celebrated like that in his entire professional career. Never.
He was great at Oklahoma City.
That was his moment. That game was his defining moment. I'm serious.
Stugatz, you're so slippery.
I am.
What are you claiming you've always said about Kevin Durant? You're like one of his, you are one of his biggest critics across the years. You have been louder than just about anybody about the last 6 or 7 years of his career. How are you taking a victory lap on Kevin Durant having that game?
Because he knows I'm right now, Kevin Durant. Everything I said about him, the easy path and all that stuff. He knows I'm right because he knows if he just stayed put in Oklahoma City, he would have had a million of those nights. A million of them.
He did. You don't remember any of them. Don't tell me he did have those nights.
You don't have those nights. You don't have those nights when you join an all-time great team. You do it with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. They've already won a title. You don't have those nights when Kyrie and James Harden are around. You have those nights where you put Jeff Green, Blake Griffin, and some guy Shamit on your shoulders, and you go win a big, big playoff game. That's how you have those nights. That's why he's being celebrated, and he deserves it. For a night.
He won the MVP award on the back of playing without Russell Westbrook. Took a team deep in the playoffs without Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. We were laughing before we went on air today, and it's before you got in here today, about one of your new moves, and we can't imagine what this is going to sound like if you're still doing this at 60. It's just so lazy. Mm-hmm. It's just garbled, mumbled gibberish. And it's just you trying as little as a human being ever has to speak. Never mind a professional broadcaster. Your move of just moving away from the microphone with Kind Bar in your mouth and just
And it's always after sentences. Like, this is how I sound after sentences.
He's so good at it, though. Yeah. He's the Michael Jordan
of it. He is the Michael Jordan of gibberish and words that aren't words that don't mean anything.
The next incarnation is him beginning sentences doing that. My sentences sound like this.
My mouth's getting tired.
Is that how he descends into retirement? Are his last words going to be...
She made some good points, though.
Thank you. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, those are all good points.
Thank you.
I did. What is your point as it regards Kevin Durant? If he has a shitty game tonight, you're going to go right back to crushing him.
Well, no, Dan, here's my point, okay? He was celebrated the way he was celebrated because he did it with a bunch of bums. That's who he won that game with. And that's how you become celebrated in the NBA. When you can't beat a team, rather than come back again, seriously, Dan.
Who did Michael Jordan beat with a bunch of bums? Who did Michael Jordan beat with not Hall of Famers?
Who has anybody beaten with a bunch of bums?
Listen, Jordan won a ton of games with Scottie Pippen. I don't know how great Scottie Pippen is if he goes somewhere else. I don't.
We know how great he is.
I'm not so certain. Does he win six titles? I don't know.
He didn't win six titles anywhere else.
He's a top 50 all-time player. Right. Nobody wins, Stugatz, the championship in that sport anymore with a bunch of bums. Like the closest we've seen is Kawhi Leonard recently or Dirk Nowitzki recently, but it's really hard to win with a bunch of bums.
Okay, teaming up with one guy, that's fine. But teaming
that's
up...
That's all he did.
No, Dan, he teamed up with the greatest team in the history of the NBA.
He did not trade for James Harden.
Oh, but he wanted James Harden.
But who wouldn't?
I mean, he shouldn't want James Harden.
Okay, you should actively not want to get
better.
Hey,
this needs to be more difficult for
Kevin
me.
Durant needed to veto, put it on the poll.
He woke up Wednesday and he was like, hey, you know what? Stugatz was right. This thing needs to be more difficult for me. Harden, get out of here.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Should Kevin Durant have stormed into the Nets front office and vetoed the James Harden trade, actively wanting his team to not get better?
It's too much, okay, man. How much better do you want to be?
Stugatz, you're the one who's perpetually farming out stupidity to others because you don't want to do the work.
Yes, but Kevin Durant is not me. He is supposed to be superior. He is supposed to be this amazing... I'm lazy. He's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be great, and he's not because he plays with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green.
So your official take is Kevin Durant's not great.
No, we didn't know until the other day
that he was great.
Right.
Because before he just had so many people around him.
I saw the fire in the belly, Dan. I did for the first time in his career. Yep, I did.
He was in Seattle, Oklahoma City for 9 years without winning a title. And that wasn't enough for you.
No.
Westbrook and Harden there.
Chris, did it ever dawn on you when Oklahoma City's up 3-1 on the Golden State Warriors that the Warriors were so aggressive in getting him because they knew eventually that team was going to beat theirs? They knew it. So they needed Durant.
No, they went for Durant because they had 25
million. They didn't need Durant.
They had 25 million in cap space and they just lost the title and he's available. Just as we're saying with the James Harden thing, he's available, you go get him. Like, if you're Golden State, why not try and go get him?
Stugatz, that's the whole point. You don't get Kevin Durant because you need to make sure that the Thunder don't beat you. You get Kevin Durant because you can get Kevin Durant.
It is a fairly amazing thing that Stugatz is trying to do here, taking a victory lap because Kevin Durant, he owes you
an apology.
He owes you an apology.
Trying to help the guy out.
What is the nature of the apology? Just how do you imagine that happening? If Kevin Durant were to have a press conference today to apologize to you, personally, what do you imagine that would sound like?
Hey, Stu, I've heard all the things you said about me, the easy path, and I thought you were crazy. I thought you were ridiculous. I needed to win titles. I was chasing rings. But you know what? Even after winning an NBA championship, even after winning Finals MVP, no one took me seriously. Not even my own teammates in Golden State took me very seriously. And you know what? It dawned on me. When I won a game with Jeff Green, when I won a game with Blake Griffin and some guy named Shamit, I was celebrated in a way that I've never been celebrated before. You know what? Because I took the hard path for one evening. I survived it, and you were right. And I should have stayed in Oklahoma City. Listen, he owes me an apology. I'm trying to help the guy out because, Dan, you compared him to me. He is not me. He's supposed to be greater than me. I mean,
constructive criticism.
Thank you. Just trying to help a guy out. I mean, like KD.
After
what happened?
I like KD is something that you're now saying.
This wants what's best for him, Dan.
Yes, I do.
I mean, Jimmy Butler, after having that kind of game in the finals against LeBron, couldn't summon much of anything from his body after that. Kevin Durant coming off of that injury and that game, 48 hours rest and Harden busted up. What is a reasonable and fair expectation for him against Milwaukee tonight? Because you can't expect that again, can you? Or anything close to that?
Well, no, yeah, you can't expect that, but you can expect another great game. You hope that Harden, you see, hidden in all this, KD played 48 minutes. Harden played something like 45 or 46 in that game, and he's the one that's coming off of a fresh hamstring injury that is really tough to recover from, and he didn't really look as explosive or comfortable out there. I'm really curious to see how Harden's going to look with 48 hours of rest. I think Durant's going to be fine. He won't be 49 and 15 fine, but I think he'll be fine.
As Barkley says, the Bucks are an embarrassment and a dumb basketball team. As people rain down criticism on that collapse, which wasn't as bad as the Sixers collapse last night, what does Amin Alhassan say is the fairest criticism of the Milwaukee Bucks? I'm hesitant to do that off of a performance like that because I'd like to enjoy the historic immortal performance instead of finding ways that Budenholzer should have stopped right. it. But you tell me, Amin, the fairest criticisms among all of them, not going after Harden, not double teaming Durant. What are the fairest ones?
Oh, I think most of them were fair. I mean, they might sound harsh in terms of when people draw conclusions that, and this means Giannis isn't good. This means Bud is a terrible coach. But the criticisms are fair. You've got Giannis. Look, Giannis clearly idolizes Kobe Bryant on some level. He's worked out with him in the past. He's mentioned kind of Kobe as an inspiration. And so when you watch him play, you're seeing him try to do things to emulate Kobe. But dare I say it, he's emulating the wrong Laker. He should be trying to emulate Shaq. Again, like I said earlier, we wouldn't give Shaq the ball 23 feet, 9 inches away from the basket and say, make something happen. We get it to him right at the basket and then ask the other team, stop him. Oh, he's just big and strong and all he does is dunk. Okay, stop it. Make it not happen. You can't, right? But that starts with Shaq having the mentality that I need to get down there and be in my comfort zone, in my sweet spot. Giannis doesn't seem that either. Giannis doesn't have an understanding of where his comfort zone is, or, you know, Bud and his staff are putting him in a position to not be successful. But it is insane to me that Giannis would dribble down the court and say, ooh, they're laying off me. I should take this three-pointer. That's not the kind of three you're supposed to ever take. It's insane to me that he would have James Harden on him, who is a good post defender. But his answer is, well, he's a good post defender. Guess I better shoot this fadeaway. He's not that good of a post defender. You're still 4 to 5 inches taller than him with a great wingspan. Get down into the paint and finish near the basket. And I think these things as points of emphasis aren't going over in Milwaukee's locker room. And then on the other end, you got to double team Durant at that point. What, you're afraid that Landry Shamet's going to kill you?
When we talk about physically strong players, I mean, I think one of the things that people don't understand about, for example, never mind Paul George, who's unbelievably strong, or Jimmy Butler, the sheer strength of James Harden, the physical strength of James Harden. When you think of guys in the league who people simply don't understand how physically strong they are, who are the guys you think of? I mean,
well, Harden's definitely on that list, and the other name is be the guy he was guarding. It would be Giannis. Giannis is another one where, like, because he looks skinny. He looks ripped, but he doesn't look like he's super strong. He's incredibly strong. When he hits you, it's hard for defenders to react, like, because he almost immobilizes you. Other players, Chris Paul is really strong. Donovan Mitchell is really strong. Embiid, obviously, very strong.
It's
weird because a lot of what we're talking about is core strength. We're not talking about right. how many reps you can do on the bench or how many curls. It's talking about like core strength, and those guys that work out and work on that stuff are incredibly hard to move, and they when they hit you, you feel it.
Who's physically stronger, James Harden or Kawhi?
I might lean towards Harden. He's like a fire hydrant. He's just immovable in that way.
That's interesting because most people would say Kawhi, right?
Well, Kawhi is unbelievably strong and also a way I think people underestimate. You simply cannot do what he does. I mean, his hand size is ridiculous. So's Chris Paul's. But you cannot do what Kawhi does unless you're physically stronger than most of the people you're playing against.
Well, yeah. So Kawhi's hand size allows him to do some crazy stuff. And also he's got incredible length and reach and is very strong throughout that. It's not like so he can hold you and corral you around. But we talk about Harden. We talk about that core strength, but also he's probably got the strongest hands in the NBA. The reason why Harden's able to draw so many fouls is when he goes to the basket, he does something that coaches teach you not to do, which is he extends the ball away from his body, right? Because he's trying to bait you to reach down and swipe down, right? And when you do that, he is obviously he's got such a tight grip on the ball that he just holds and rips up and draws that foul. And that's all due to incredible hand strength that he has.
How could you possibly know he has the strongest hands in the NBA?
Because who else can put the ball out in front of them as many times as he does and not lose it, not get stripped? Rather, think about how many times when that happens, you get the whistle call and you guys, oh, he's flopping or he's just trying to draw fouls. But the ball never goes down. It never gets slapped down. It always goes up towards the basket. That's his hand strength.
I believe that we always, even though we're all watching it and interested, I believe we all underestimate all the time watching how great these people actually are at what they do and how much they work at it. So what does Amin say to the person today who is saying, Simmons, all you got to do, get in a gym and take 1,000 jumpers every day, take 1,000 free throws every day, as if that's not something he's already doing every day.
Is he doing it? Do we know that?
Yeah, he's doing it. Of course, at least the free throws he's working out on. But again, I go back to my experience with Shaq. The guy shot like 85, 90% in practice. Shaq was so good in practice, his form looked different. He shot it, it looked like a regular jump shot. And then when he got in the games, remember he cradle it and he kind of leaned forward and almost push shot it in. That's not how he shot in practice, but when he gets out there in those lights, that's how he feels. And that's why I always go back to, look, they're doing this. This mental block is because they're not comfortable. They're worried about letting the team down. They're worried about like not being big enough for the moment. And all you have to do is remove that from them and say, look, I don't care, man. Shoot 40 free throws, shoot 20 of 40. I guarantee you they're all going to be in foul trouble and we'll be shooting free throws with the 10-minute mark of every quarter. And that's fine. But if you are kind of – if it affects the way you play, if you're running from the ball, if you're playing hot potato, now you're a liability. Now you're a guy that honestly doesn't really help us on the floor.
I mean, the one team we haven't really discussed is the Atlanta Hawks. I think they have a chance to win a championship. If for no other reason, they're simply the healthiest team that's left here, no?
Well, they lost DeAndre Hunter for the season. He was a big part of the success. I mean, sure, the health, the Suns to me are the ones that look like the biggest lock. Because even though Chris Paul is in protocol, allegedly he is vaccinated, which means his protocol will be shorter. And also, that series ain't over yet. So if you're the Suns, you're saying, okay, worst case scenario, he might miss game one. But the reality is, other than that, the Suns have been remarkably healthy. Paul had the shoulder thing, but clearly he's over that now. I think they're in the driver's seat right now when you look at Utah with Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. You look at Brooklyn with all the stuff that's going on with them. You look at Philly with Danny Green and also Embiid playing with the torn meniscus. And then the Clippers missing Kawhi for the rest of the playoffs. And then the Hawks, I just don't think are good enough to get out of the East like that. So
you really petered out there.
Yeah.
Usually thoughts don't end with so.
I didn't have an end point.
Yeah, you just sort of gave up on it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I wanted to ask the group about, he's not quite as good at that as you are, Stu Gantz. I wanted to ask the group about a story the other day that we never got to, which is, and you do not hear or see this very often, a lot of people at TNT behind the scenes are complaining about what has happened with AT&T coming in and making changes. And Charles Barkley publicly, you don't see a lot of this where people give voice to, I'm annoyed by my employer here. And Charles Barkley publicly said, because he's gotten a talking to about something he's done for many years, which is make fun of the women of San Antonio for being ugly. He has done this for many years. And he has been told specifically to stop that. And his response is, I've been told to stop that. And I can't wait till get till 60 years old so I can get my ass out of here, because Charles Barkley does not want to be told at this point or any point in his life what he can and cannot say. And he has been one of the guys who is Teflon, even though I understand totally an employer in this spot, in this climate, telling him, Charles, rein that back. It's not an important enough joke to be doing that.
Small correction. He actually calls the women of San Antonio bigger as far as size is concerned. He calls the women of Georgia ugly.
Okay. Very good correction. Thank you.
Very important. Seriously.
I don't know which one it is that AT&T is correcting him on, but when that guy specifically, who has gotten immunity throughout his life, is telling you, complaining about cancel culture, I find myself surprised that anyone in any climate is telling Charles Barkley to not be Charles Barkley when Charles Barkley has been what he's been for as many years, at least in part because he has some sort of strange, weird immunity that no one else in the media has, even though what he's saying should stop. I think we can all agree that it should stop, even though he's been doing that for many years.
It seems like a small concession for Charles to make.
Well, he doesn't want to make any concessions.
I know
his
doesn't.
Whole brand is no concessions.
Right.
Yeah, they're not asking him not to be Charles Barkley. They're just saying stop fat-shaming women in San Antonio. It, like Stugat said, it's just like a minor thing he can stop doing. There's a whole other list of things he's allowed to do, so I don't really see why it's a big deal for him to just realize that in 2021, making fun of women isn't that funny. Like, I don't think it's funny. I don't know what's funny about women being fat.
I don't know what's funny about men being fat either.
Yes.
Men fat jokes aren't that funny either to me, if I'm being honest.
I don't think so either. They're selling hippos at the Miami Zoo, those wax hippos with my name on them. And I'm not okay with this either. The objection, Jessica, by Charles Barkley is, no one tells me what to say on anything. That's what I do. That's the space that I reside in. And I understand why he would buck against anybody telling him that he can't say anything, because that's the whole brand. It's what you're paying him to be, Charles Barkley. And so I understand why he would object at this point in his life, where he's just trying to get to 60 so he can retire, that he doesn't want the new bosses governing him on whatever their moralities are, any of them.
Right, but when you're on TV, there are certain things you're not allowed to say. It's not like he has free, like, carte blanche. He can say whatever he wants. There's rules when you're on television, and this is part of that, is that you want to cater to your, whatever, your advertisers or your audience, whoever it is that they're trying to make happy, by not allowing these jokes. Like, you can't go on TV and say the F word. Like, there's a whole list of things you can't do on TV. This is part of that.
The rules don't apply to him. Never have.
Yeah, but now they do. So that's, they just do. And it's a small rule. It's a small concession to make. Like, hey, you're hurting people's feelings. Stop doing it. We're not comfortable with it. You've had run-of-the-mill around here forever. We're making one small ask. Please change it.
What is run of the mill around here forever?
Well, he can do whatever he wants.
He has had the ability to do things that no one else can. And I understand, man, what does Charles Barkley need bosses telling him anything?
He doesn't.
About?
I mean, that's obvious.
But
he doesn't.
But I do think that, like, if let's say a colleague, like let's say Candace Parker, comes up to Charles Barkley and says, hey, let's have a conversation about what you say about women in San Antonio, perhaps he's more receptive to it. It's specifically who it's coming from. But, like, I do think that, like, if a respected colleague said, hey, can you not? I would imagine Charles might be receptive to that. But, yeah, you're talking about the notion of being told what to do by bosses not being received well. But I do think the message is one worth hearing.
Does it not buy him anything, though, that he clearly is smiling when he does it at this point? Maybe the first time he did it, he actually meant it, but it's become a bit at this point.
What? What are you talking about?
What? He does it. He does it jokingly. Like,
do you,
his intention.
Do you think if you're do you think if you're a woman watching the show and Charles Barkley is talking about fat women in a disparaging, misogynistic way, you're like, ah, well, he's smiling, so he's not talking about me. It's just a joke. It's funny. What are you talking about?
I mean, as someone who gets called fat all the time, I do take with a grain of salt when people are like, oh, it's
no,
the bit.
No, but it's different. They're allowed. Look, this is an inequality that is totally allowed when it comes to being in the positions of power. Of course, Chris, that's not going to change with either you or I. It is different when you're making fun of those in power than when you're not. And to be clear, understand totally why it is Charles is wrong on this one. Yeah. He should stop doing that. But I also understand why Charles Barkley specifically would call out his employer on, nobody needs to be telling me anything about how to be Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley has lived his entire professional public career not giving a bleep what anyone has to say about anything that he has to say. My God, for the last 15 years, he has been held up by white people every time he does the respectability politics on black people. Like, every single time, Charles Barkley has been turned into a symbol by white people who believe a certain thing, and then Charles Barkley says them also about black people, and he gets waved around as somebody that infuriates black people because of some of the opinions that he has. As he tells you at every turn, the hardest decision I have to make every day is between a Four Seasons and a Ritz-Carlton. But I get why it is that Charles Barkley, at this stage in his career, having profited more than anyone possibly could off of decades after being an athlete on Saturday Night Live and everything else, on the brand of, I'm the guy who appears on Sports Illustrated breaking slave chains in a cover shoot. I'm the guy who tells you in a McDonald's commercial, I am not a role model. It's the whole brand. It's the whole center of what it is that he is. And so if I were him, how would you not buck on anything corporate is telling you? Never mind whether you want to listen to human beings. Hey, this is hurtful. This is an indecent thing to do at any time. Don't do it anymore. I think Charles is just bucking on the idea of new ownership is suddenly telling him what to do when no one's ever told him what to do.
I just don't get how he's gotten away with it this long to begin with. Like, what if there is a fat woman in corporate? Why are we assuming that it's a man telling him to stop making this joke?
Oh, come on, Jessica. It's always a man. Come on, Jessica. If it's at the top,
it might not be.
If it's at the top of corporate, it's how we've gotten away with that joke for the last 15 years that he's made it. It's because it's never a woman at the top of corporate. It's the reason that you could go out. It's the reason you could fat shame the man at the top of corporate.
I mean, but boo-hoo, Charles Barkley. Like, sorry, you have a job and now your boss is telling you to do something. Like, you get paid millions of dollars. Like, how hard is it to have to follow rules? Everyone has to do things they don't want to do at work. Like, just don't call people fat. Like, that's a simple rule. Boo-hoo, I'm so sorry that your life is so hard. Or you, like, if you don't want to be told, like, you can just quit. I mean, no one's stopping him from quitting if he wants to run around just calling people fat or whatever it is that he wants to do all day. Like, if this is such a horrible injustice that he's going through,
you don't have to wait till 60. I do think there's something to what Whittingham said. It's the messenger on this one. Perhaps if it was a peer, perhaps if it was Candace Parker, perhaps if you did it. Dan, I have daughters.
No, it's not,
different.
It's not
Candace
Parker's job. It's not Candace Parker's job to stand up for women and say, hey, this joke's misogynistic. She's trying to do her job. She's a basketball analyst. That's why she's on the show. This is not her job.
Charles should just do it, regardless of the messenger. I agree with you, but maybe the messenger would be able to get the message across in a way that Charles would understand, be able to digest and say, okay, I'm not going to do this moving forward.
Boo-hoo.
I think he's pissed no matter who the messenger
have
is.
Real problems. How about that? Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, Visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.